Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to Parshat Chaye Sarah. That's right, giving tribute to Sarah Imenu and everything that comes along with it, and that comes along with welcoming a new one of our foremothers, and that would be Rivka. Now, in this week's Parsha, when Eliezer sees Rivka appear, she appears with a jug on her shoulder, although you'll see it's not so straightforward. And then it says a little while later, Bechada al Shechma, and behold, Rivka went out, and a jug was upon her shoulder. And again, when Eliezer is telling the story to Rivka's family, he specifically mentions this. And behold, Rivka went out, and a jug was upon her shoulder. I don't know which one seems necessary, but obviously it is. So let's try and figure it out. Although Eliezer does, in fact, change numerous parts of what transpired for various reasons that we're not going to get into now, these words and phrases are actually identical in both instances. He felt it was that important to keep it the same. Now, although Rivka was the progenitor of the Jewish people, she gave birth to both Yaakov and Esav. Now, many Jewish sources, especially those of a mystical nature, align Esav and his descendants with the sun, whereas Yaakov and the Jewish people overall are connected to the moon. Now, it's interesting that the appearance of Rivka actually seems to allude to both of these. She appeared with Kada, her jug, upon Shechma, which is her shoulder. Now, the word Shechma is numerically equal to 365, the number of solar days, or the revolution of the earth around the sun. Coincidence? I think not. Now, the word Kada, her jug, is numerically equal to, you guessed it, 29, which is the approximate number of days in a lunar month. Even more intriguing is the fact that the words preceding the Kada al Shechma, that the jug was upon her shoulder, are the words, Vihine Rivka Yotzeit, and behold, Rivka went out. Interestingly enough, those words are numerically equal to the words HaShemesh V'HaYareach, the sun and the moon. Can it get any clearer than that? So one could, in a sense, actually rearrange this pasuk in a certain sense. Vihine Yotzat Rivka, and behold, that which came out of Rivka was the Kada, which is Yaakov, the Jewish people, and the Shechma, which is Esav and Edom. However, why is this? Why is a solar year ascribed to Esav, whereas a lunar month is ascribed to Yaakov? So, first of all, part of it is way beyond, you know, in terms of the whole concept of the sun and the moon, there's a lot to talk about in terms of the renewal and the lessons of the darkness, as opposed, well, yeah, okay, we'll get into that a little bit. There's a lot of lessons, tons of lessons connecting women in general, but certainly all the Kol Yisrael to the moon. The fact that we have our ups and downs, we have times of darkness, we have times of smallness, we have times of fullness, we have times of brightness and things like that. And there's so much more to it. And even though we may be smaller than the sun, people can actually look at us, whereas you can't stare into the sun. The sun is overwhelmingly powerful, and it's always there, right? It's always there. I mean, except at night. But I'm saying, like, it doesn't go through phases. It's always a round ball of fire in the sky. Right. Now, yes, it's a little different at sunrise, and this is some slightly different heights and angles to it, but effectively it's already there. We don't see it turning. There's a certain constancy. And that's to some extent Esav in this world. They're here, they're present, they're a physical reality. And they can be really hot and intense, or they can bring light. Depends on which Gentiles we're talking about. But ultimately, they're more of a presence in the physical world, whereas the moon is something that's more spiritual. It's something that's a little more esoteric in nature. It's something that it's constantly changing, and we're much more about change than being static. We're much more about changing dynamically and growing, and obviously all human beings, but certainly the Jewish people have an obligation to grow and to change and develop, and this is very symbolic of the moon. But another question is, we're not comparing a lunar year and a solar year. We're comparing a lunar month and a solar year. So why is that? One answer could be that Esau's descendants in the Western world and much of the world overall see the world overall in the capacity of a year. That's its main identity. Is it 2022? Is it 1986? Right? It sees that as the main entity. And the month is more of a practical subdivision. Okay, what month is it now? Okay, it's November, it's March, whatever it is, right? It's more practical, but they define things by the year. But the Jewish people go by the particular month and what it contains, the Tekufa. It's a certain special Indian that surrounds every month and what it corresponds to, right? Tishrei has a certain connotation of Teshuvah and the king and festival, other things like that. Nisan is freedom, right? Adar, you know, all these months have a special purpose, right? We don't focus on what year it is so much, right? Okay, 57, 58, 3, 84, it doesn't really matter so much. We focus on what the month is much more than we focus on the year. A second reason could be surmised by the roots of the words themselves. Now, the root for the word year is shana, which can either mean to repeat or do twice, or it can mean to change. Shona means to change, or it can be from shani, like second, just doing the same thing again. What will a new year bring? Will it be the same as last year, or will it be mishuna? Will it be changed? And that concept is certainly definitely relevant to Jews. We focus on that on Rosh Hashanah, right? We want to change. We don't just want to repeat what we did last year. But we are also focused upon the chadash, the new, which is the root of the word for month, chodesh. We always strive to change. We don't necessarily have to wait, or we should not wait necessarily for a year to change and to make things different. We should strive for change, to make something new, and to grow and to create every day, or at least every month. Now in Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech repeatedly writes, Ein chadash tachat HaShemesh. There is nothing new under the sun. Because what's chadash? Chadash is chodesh. That's under the moon, right? There's nothing new under the sun, but there is something under the moon. Again, that's basically looking at things from a more spiritual perspective than a physical perspective. Things in this world are relatively bound by the laws of nature. They don't really change much. I mean, we're within the confines of the natural laws. But under the moon, which is also connected to the mazalos and the heavenly spheres and things like that, everything is possible. As long as you remember we are Jews and that we constantly have to strive and grow and to develop, even if we wind up having setbacks and even if we wind up becoming dark periodically. But we also have to focus on constantly trying to make ourselves, you know, grow and to wax in a wholesome manner, to better ourselves as we live in Hashem's ways. And only then can we be kada, which is the jug, al shechma. We can be the jug on top of the shoulder. In other words, we can have ourselves above Esau. We can be more prominent, and we can rise to the top, and people will respect us when we do what we need to do. We, the Jewish people who are connected primarily to the moon, can rise and be on top of those who are only connected to the sun, so that we can prosper and succeed until the coming of Ula and get the final clarity, perhaps when the moon and sun are equal, and ultimately the coming of the redemption of the Mashiach. Now, I do know I have 3 minutes remaining, and one thing I could possibly talk about is the concept that the shoulder is interestingly used as the word shechma here, as opposed to the word ketef. Now, when we just a couple parshas ago, when we were talking about Parshat Noach, when Shem and Yafet covered their father Noach, it uses ketefav. It uses that word for shoulder. So, this is part of a much, much larger talk. But it's interesting that we specifically use the word shechem here, which, by the way, is also related to the word Shechem, and that's a whole separate connection as to how that connects with the city of Shechem, and what happened with Dina, and Yaakov, and Yosef, and all these things like that. It's a whole separate thing, but it is related, very tangentially, but it's definitely related. But it's interesting that we don't use the word Ketef here. We don't say Al Kitma. We don't say on her shoulder with a Ketef. Now, there's a lot of fundamental differences between a Ketef and a Shechem, and I don't have enough time to get into it. But we do see that it's not coincidental that this particular root of Shechma, of Shechem, is used here, because we see that it works. It works with the Gematrias, and it works on many, many other deeper levels as well. So I'm going to just leave it there with a little bit of food for you to think about, and perhaps this is something we can build on in the future. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.